dissolved the council permanently. The last remnants of the old republic have been swept away.
You might want to buckle up, baby, because you're listening to the Imperial Senate Podcast, and Solo has been out for a couple of weekends now, and we're itching to talk about all of it. If you've listened to our show before, you'll know that I'm Nikki, one of your hosts, and if it's your first time listening to our podcast, welcome. We've got a full Senate here today with all the hosts present, so join me in saying hello to Kristen, Charlie, and Claire. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Hello.
What's good? It's been a while since we all recorded.
A lot is good.
There we go.
Solo is good.
Yes. Solo is very good. What has everyone been up to?
I've been soloing.
That's basically it here too. How many times have you guys seen it, may I ask?
Six.
I've only seen it twice.
Once today.
Five times.
I'm the winner.
So it looks like Nikki's our winner.
Oh. Wow, Nikki, congratulations.
I'm proud of you, bud.
Thanks, guys. I've been trying hard.
Hooray, I'm Paul.
But yeah, it's been good days. I think anyone have anything particularly exciting happen? I think Claire got a little sneak peek behind the curtain of the old Lucasfilm house.
I did. I went on a super cool trip. My boyfriend Tyler, he has just started an internship with Sony, specifically with PlayStation and their partner alliances, which is kind of cool, and I'm very excited for him.
Yes.
But that also means that I am sad because he has moved to San Francisco for the summer. But that did mean I got to go visit and move him in, and being in San Francisco, we had one of our friends over at Lucasfilm give us a tour. The lovely Andy Gutierrez gave us a tour of Lucasfilm itself, which was so cool. It was like
hashtag blessed.
It was amazing. It was so insane, and just seeing so many incredible props and screen used things along the official tour route. It was just insane. I was like, I watched you in a movie. There was just like. There's stuff from E.T., from Jurassic Park, from Indiana Jones, from obviously Star Wars, and it was just so crazy just to get a look behind the ILM and Lucasfilm curtain, and it was, oh my god, dream trip. And I took a photo with the Yoda fountain because I would never forgive myself if I didn't.
It's vital.
You have to. That's like the requirement for visiting Lucasfilm. If you don't take a photo by the Yoda fountain, did you even really visit Lucasfilm?
Exactly.
Did it talk to you?
I mean, I feel like we had a connection through the Force, but no. It didn't specifically speak to me.
They sealed its mouth.
That's probably what it was.
It was atrocities.
Morbid.
Oh, is it like an agency thing? He only talks for the Star Wars show. He can't act another
Although
program.
We did run into the person who I know does the voice for the Star Wars show. I was like, I walked past that person in the hallway. Hello. So that was funny. I was like, it's Yoda, but not. So that was good.
Well, did they get my letter? Because, you know, Chuck Wendig really hurt my feelings, and I'm just waiting.
Oh, dear Lord.
To hear any feedback.
Claire thought that she could escape this, but we're really
It's all that
in.
I can think about, to be honest. Unfortunately, I didn't hear if they got your letter, Charlie. I am so sorry. I should have asked. I should have inquired for you.
Better put up a billboard.
Well, you know, at least you're staying busy.
I mean, yeah, you got to keep the... I don't know what I'm saying. Like, just ignore that bit. Lucasfilm, really cool. Got to see loads of stuff. But you get to see Solo as part of the experience. Like, how did that feel?
It was really, really cool. The first time I saw Solo, I saw it the Monday before it came out because our good buddies invited Tyler and I to a screening, to an early screening that had a lot of the ILM people and a lot of the Lucasfilm people. So a lot of the people in the theater itself had already seen good chunks of the movie. And I'm sitting here like an emotional wreck trying to keep my cool because these are like professional people that have worked yes. on this. And I'm like, okay, I've just got to act like this is so casual. I'm going to see a new Star Wars movie and I've got to be good about it. But it turns out that me freaking out a little bit was a good thing because the friends on either side of us kept looking over for the reactions. And I can't sit still during a Star Wars movie. So I was like wiggling and like squealing and like ing all the time. So they, at least since a lot of it wasn't new for them, at least they had some sort of an entertaining viewing experience with me. But it was really, really, it was really cool. It was weird. I didn't know exactly how I felt because there wasn't very much audience reaction, which was kind of odd for a first Star Wars viewing for me. But other than that, it was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see it twice in San Francisco, and I've seen it three times since I've gone home. Real good times, man.
I guess it must be kind of strange to be in an audience watching a Star Wars film for the first time where most of the people there are actually in the credits.
Yes, and that was another really cool thing, that they kept the lights all the way down at the end of the film. And as names came up that people recognized or liked, there was just a lot of like scattered polite applause through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that was a really neat experience as well. I was like, wow, I like that. And just still completely pitch black, no house lights up. I was like, yes, respect everybody that's like done some cool stuff. And then when, of course, names came up that I recognized and liked, like, you know, Sam Witwer and Ray Park and David Collins and all these people that I'm like, yes, clap, polite applause.
Polite applause. So, I love it.
I'm a part of it too, guys, I swear.
Well, I guess if we're like deep diving into spoiler territory now, and this is a spoiler review, guys, so if you haven't watched the film, probably don't listen to the thing that has the word spoiler review on it.
That is good advice.
Yeah. Claire.
Yes.
We know that your boyfriend Tyler is a big fan of the Horned Man himself.
That is the understatement of the century.
What was his reaction when he saw Mr. Maul back on screen for the first time in,
actually, it's Dr. Maul, PhD.
Oh, Dr. Maul.
Come on, Charlie.
You're correct. I know that he got his PhD in that deleted.
He went back to school on Dothmere to finish out his PhD. Like, give him some credit. Come on.
In the comics,
know
guys.
Your Star Wars lore, guys.
Fake fan.
Hashtag fake fans.
Yeah.
Booted from the call.
Oh, dear Lord. But yeah, so, yeah, Tyler is the biggest Darth Maul fan I've ever met in my life. And I am so, so sad because it was spoiled for him before he even went in.
Oh, you're joking.
Somebody had spoiled it. I'm not joking. And I had no idea, but he kept... We were just, like, scrolling through our phones one day, and then he just goes, I'm like, what? He's just like, I saw something. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I saw something that I can't unsee. I know something that's going to be in the movie. I was like, okay, well, don't tell me. He's like, no, I would never tell you. I'd never tell you. And he's just like, oh, no. Because he felt kind of lukewarm before he went into this movie. He's like, I don't know how I feel about there being a solo movie. It's kind of weird to me at this point. But I think that having that spoiled for him psyched him up for the movie so much that he became jittery, like, oh my God, I can't wait to see it. he was super, super satisfied with Darth Maul's appearance at the end, but not surprised. I, on the other hand, had like the largest intake of breath that I've ever heard, like I've ever done in my life. And several people, even people I didn't know on either side, like turned their heads and were looking at me. So I was like, I'm sorry, guys. So yeah, how about that Darth Maul?
It's like the moment that voice hits and like you start recognizing the voice.
Sam, what are you doing here?
It's
oh my
just
God.
Like, wow.
And
this
the
is going down.
When they just start at the robot legs and then they start panning around and you're like, oh my god, they did it!
And then his lightsaber.
Whoa! Oh my god, and it's the Rebels
fully
one.
Erect. Ugh. Fully erect.
Ugh. As were we all.
Wabam.
I saw the first time with my dad, and the only thing he knows of Darth Maul is from The Phantom Menace. He's never seen Clone Wars or Rebels. And so I'm in a theater full of Star Wars nerds, and so we all start flipping our shit when Darth Maul appears on screen. We're like, what is happening? Who am I? What world is this in? And my dad's just sitting there like, what? I thought he died in The Phantom Menace. And so I had to explain to him how it got from the point of The Phantom Menace to the Solo film. And then I saw it with my fiance, who has seen Star Wars Rebels with me, and I saw it with my really good friend, and she's never seen Star Wars Rebels or Clone Wars, and so when he came on screen, she flipped her shit because she had never seen the Clone Wars TV series or Rebels, and I'd been keeping it quiet with Brant, saying, "Oh yeah, there's this really big thing that happens, and it's really cool." And he just like looked at me, like, "Is this the thing? Is this the big thing?" I was like, "Yes, it's the big thing."
What do you think?
It's the big thing. That was my Seinfeld impression.
Awesome. Well, before we get too much into Solo, we are recording on June 5th, and sort of the current news is that Star Wars Celebration tickets were released to the public today, and people are scrambling for hotels and making fun of the little walking man in the virtual queue. So did anybody get in on that, or is your celebration anticipation pumped anyway if you didn't?
I'm kind of lucky that Celebration is happening like in my backyard. So I didn't have to deal much with the walking man, especially with like the hotels and things like that. I was at work, and so right at noon I couldn't sneak away. I didn't find a good moment to sneak away because I was kind of busy. But around 12:20 I was able to go in, and I got my tickets no problem. And I didn't have to wait in the hotel queue since I already have a place to stay. But I loved watching... Well, no, I didn't love watching. I was entertained by the social media posts of the little walking man, and my heart goes out to everybody that's struggled with that today, because that seems like a rough afternoon.
Yes. I was working, and Brant was working, and my sister, she's going to Celebration with us, and this is the first time she's ever gone, so I'm really excited about that. So she had today off because she's also packing and moving. And so she, I got her to get us, a hotel that was about a few miles away from the convention center. And then I had to get Brant, like, while he was at work, I was like, "Hey, could you get the tickets? 'Cause I can't sneak away." So yes, your girl was stressed, but everything's good. Everything's golden. Shakugi, I'm coming for you next year. It's going to be great.
Da Bears.
There you go. Yeah, should be exciting. Didn't have to deal with too much stress from the lines, but yeah, it's all sort of coming together now. Do you guys have any hopes and desires for Celebration? Something you like, panels you really want to see, or anything like that?
I just want to hang out with everybody that I follow on Star Wars Twitter. Like, that's primarily my big hope. Like, we can all form like a nice group, and then maybe instead of waiting in line for panels, we can all just chill out in someone's hotel room and watch live streams of what's going on, and then like go bar hopping and form a friendship, a Star Wars bond. That's what I'm hopeful for. Paint the town red.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts about Celebration last year, was that just hanging out with people at, it was more so at like events. There was a lot of like after Celebration events to go to last year, and I saw a lot of people. But also just hanging out at shout out to the Star Wars Underworld, just hanging out at their booth, and just everybody seemed to come by and podcasts on the showroom floor and seeing all these people that I've met online. That's going to be the best part. But I did not go inside any major panel last year. So I think this year I'm going to hit at least one. But I'd love to know more about that Rebels.
Yeah, I feel like I was the opposite.
That Rebels. What am I saying?
Yeah.
That Ammon Sears.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I felt like I was in lines like the whole time.
Yeah. I how did you enjoy your line experience last time?
I mean, it's okay because I was with like my friends I always travel to Celebration with. So like it's okay in the lines, but I definitely want to meet more of the online people. Like, I haven't even met you guys in real life. So,
yeah, we have not met.
I know me and Claire met last year.
And that was super cool. Charlie and I hung out a good chunk.
I bought you pizza.
Charlie got my, Charlie got my hungover butt some pizza, which nice. Was great. He was my savior.
I haven't met you, Kristen, yet.
We haven't met, which it's pretty unfortunate, but that's going to change. I know Thursday is sort of like a preview day. There's not going to be any panels or anything major going on. It's just going to be kind of like a day of shopping, I guess, and exploring the floor, which I think that'll be really nice because it'll give us all an opportunity to like group up and, you know, hang out with each other and spend some time with each other because maybe, you know, a lot of us probably aren't going to be staying the entire 5 days, or a lot of us are going to be waiting in different panels versus other people. And so we probably won't be able to hang out until like after like the major panels. So Thursday is going to be really nice for at least all of us to, you know, group up and figure out, okay, that's what that person looks like in real life. Okay, I see. The picture was deceiving.
Facebook photos can be deceiving, yes.
That's what they smell like.
That's what they smell like? Is that what you just said?
You're like,
oh my god, I was not prepared.
You lick their cheek, that's what they taste like.
Taste good.
I actually sound American up close. It's very disorientating.
Yeah, we are a scary bunch, especially around a certain holiday that goes over our independence. America.
Halloween.
You're rowdy.
You called it.
It's getting very. It seems to be that I might not be able to go this time to Celebration, which is sad. Hashtag small violence.
No, very big violence.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
But
orchestra.
Whole orchestra.
Orchestra, Charlie.
I mean, hopefully I'll be able to. It just depends on, you know, circumstance and if the police catch me. And I just think that, you know, the best thing about Celebration is not the big panels. Ultimately, it's about you guys and Hayden Christensen. So what I really want to see
100%.
This time is Hayden Christensen again.
Well, because he's going to be in episode 9, everybody knows this. So he's got to debut himself.
That would be nice. I mean, you said what panels would I like to see if I got to go. I really want there to be a big Phantom Menace panel, because obviously it would be the 20th anniversary. And I want all of us Star Wars fans to kick the shitty fans to the side, get a leaf blower, blow them away.
I'm sorry, Charlie, did you together. Say you wanted to blow shitty Star Wars fans?
I want to blow them hard, Kristen. I'm trying to mix my words up, okay? I'm going to blow these guys away. And they'll never... Mm-hmm, they'll come back for more. and all of us can come together like a big cocoon, and we all come out as loving butterflies. And appreciate Armored Best. Because I want Armored Best to appear and...
Oh, I would love that. Please come back, Armored Best. I need
yes.
to hug you.
Goat.
I,
I need a Jar Jar hug in my life.
I just want that, you know, that beautiful little... I want Natalie Portman to appear.
Oh my gosh, guys, listen. Listen. If Natalie Portman comes to Celebration, I don't care what money I gotta spend. I don't care who I gotta sleep with. I don't care who I have to kill. My ass will be standing next to Natalie Portman, and I will get a picture with her. It's gonna happen. I'm already gonna be in debt with grad school. Just put it on the tab. Put it on there. Natalie, my homegirl, I'm coming for you. Celebration. Pictures. You and me. And then as we're taking a picture, I'm like, hey, I know this really nice coffee shop in Chicago. Let's you and me go. Let's hit it off, you know? It's gonna happen.
Let's get some deep dish.
Christ.
Dear Lord. I'm just saying. She has kids. I'll take her kids. Yeah, sure. Happy loving family.
These are what Celebration dreams are about. Reaching for the stars.
I'll be reaching for a star. Am I right?
But not like physically reaching at them.
Am I right?
Watch the lawsuits.
We need like a horn. Just to play in the background every time Kristen makes an innuendo.
Every time I make an innuendo, just...
Or some sort of like jingle, some sort of like inappropriate comment jingle, like Kristen said an innuendo, and then like play that every time she said something.
No, I know. Do you guys have Carry On films over there? Like these British films from like the '60s and seventies?
Maybe.
I'd say the closest thing is like Vacation.
Okay. Right? Yeah. No. So we had this like films called Carry On films, and they're like ridiculous innuendo, like, you know, like there's a film where a lady does a bit of exercise, a bra flings off, that sort of thing. Every time one of those silly moments happened, they'd play one of those like penny whistles. That's what we should use for Kristen.
Penny whistles.
So every okay, Kristen, you say an innuendo.
Penny whistles remind me of penises. I love it. I'm here for it. Get that sound effect. I approve this.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Excellent. Oh, well, man. Celebration is, of course, in April 2019, so we hope to see you there if you're going to be there. But yeah, let's get into the real good stuff. Let's talk about that solo. You know, we got stories and characters and cameos, but start with some initial reactions. Charlie, I think you're the only one to have seen it in the past 24 hours.
That is true.
So why don't you start us out?
So, I've been excited for this film for ages. Like, I know a lot of people wasn't excited about it because we don't need a Han Solo film. We need any of these films. Come on. Entertainment. Relax. Chill. Because we were at Star Wars Celebration 2016, and when Alden came out and he started speaking, I was like, sold. This guy is an angel. He's Han Solo. Yeah, that hair, though.
Ugh, the hair!
Right?
Ugh.
Just saying. And, yeah, since then, like, I was like, okay, this guy is Han Solo. He's got the charisma. He had the smile. Like, he made a joke and did a smile, and I was like, that is the Harrison smile. And so, I think, that even though I really love the sequels, Episode 7 and Episode 8, I really love them. They are part of the Star Wars, the Skywalker saga, so there's like a different atmosphere for those films than there are for the other things, and those particular stories have a certain tone they have to keep. But I think that the standalones might be my favourite, and it's because they don't necessarily have to, like, they don't have to delve into the Skywalker saga, the story, but they take elements out of it and just explore it a bit more. And I think, like I said this earlier, I think the closest way to describe it is that I feel like a Clone Wars arc. Like, Solo could have been like at least a 3-episode arc of the Clone Wars. And where you get to dive into these characters and just, you know, see where their story takes them. And I just really enjoyed it. And I guess the biggest emotion for the film is that I came out with the biggest grin on my face. So yeah, I loved it.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's just like, it's just joy. Like, it's not like particularly intensive or draining. It's just kind of like, like a great milkshake.
Yeah.
You know, it's satisfying. I think, like, for me, it's, for me, I can definitely put it preferentially over Rogue One for me, because I feel like it embodies, like, the standalone potential more, because, like, Rogue One is very tied to an episodic movie, with what they're doing, whereas this was, like, this was very much just out there. It's a thing happening in the Star Wars galaxy, and to me, that was very exciting, and yeah, I really like it. I think it's unfortunate. We can get into box office stuff later, or not at all, depending on what you want. But I think I feel like it deserves to not have so much negativity around it, because it's just such a fun movie. And yeah, like I was the same. I walked out just really, really pleased and smiling.
Yeah, that's like, like you said about Rogue One, I think the reason why that Rogue One didn't completely have that standalone feel is because they're testing the waters out a bit. And I feel like if you're going to test that sort of... If the standalones are the future of the franchise, you need to test it. And the best way to do that is to have a story idea that sort of links in to the elements that we know and love. So I think that's why Rogue One was necessary to be connected to Episode 4. But like you said, I think Solo wouldn't have been as successful without the success of Rogue One. But because of that, it just shows you how amazing these standalones could be. And I think that any idea could potentially be amazing. Like, we were talking the other day, me and Claire on the other show, about just different ideas for characters, and I think any character could work. Like, based on Solo, I would watch IG-88, the film.
I would totally watch that film.
Yeah, why not? Who would play IG-88?
No, know,
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh my.
Ah, oh, perfect.
I'll have to Photoshop that, because but he has the glasses on still.
Oh my gosh.
guys.
Oh god.
Life.
Falcon. Anyone
finds the Falcon.
It's over there. I heard a rumor.
Okay, so he's flying the Millennium Falcon, right? And then Chewbacca presses a wrong button, and then in the background, there's a bunch of fireworks that pop off, and then you hear it singing, "It's my birthday."
Oh my gosh.
You heard it here first, guys. Goldblum for IG-88.
Yes.
I'd sign that petition.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
So yeah, Chris and Claire, what about you guys? How did you feel walking out?
Go ahead, Claire. I've already talked a bit about it, but you go ahead.
Okay. So walking out of it, I felt really satisfied with the movie. I was very fun and lighthearted. You know, I wasn't expecting a lot out of it. I wouldn't put it in the same realm as Rogue One, just because it's a different standalone Star Wars film. It's just a completely different story. So I could appreciate the lightheartedness that Solo had, as compared to, like, sort of when you left Rogue One, you were drained emotionally and you were stressed because of everything that was happening. That scene with Darth Vader still gives me nightmares. So leaving the Solo film, like, it was a really nice tie-in for fans that have been watching, you know, the Clone Wars TV series and Star Wars Rebels. So that was really nice. And I could definitely see, you know, some details and issues where a lot of people were talking about it. Like, I could definitely see that. But overall, I liked some of the characters. Like, L3 was really cool. I really loved Kira. I wanted to know more about her. I'm not biased because she was played by Emilia Clarke, but I am a little biased. So that was really cool. And then, of course, the Darth Maul cameo was just iconic. It was 100, 100, 100. And then Dryden, Paul Bettany's character, is that his name?
Yeah.
he was a looker. Like, when he came on screen, I was like, wow, okay.
He was...
Tell me more.
He was absolutely loving his time on that set. You could tell. Like...
Oh, yeah.
He was just...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Lapping that up.
The thing about him as Dryden and that performance... I adored that performance, partially because I'm like, you are so, like, scary, but you're so charming. And I'm like, I'm really conflicted. Am I attracted to you, or do I want to run away from you?
Oh, bitch, I was attracted to him. Like, yeah, can,
I was in.
Whatever.
Was like,
threaten me. Fine. Whatever. Those anger lines. Those anger wow, lines. Red's a good color on you, Dryden.
Give me that tattoo.
Hey.
It's something the standalones have done really well. Like, the two villains of the standalones have just been that perfect mix of, oh my god, you're awful.
Yes.
And also, I love you. You know? It's like, those two actors just nailed
for
it.
For sure. They did such a good job. Oh, I hope Paul Bettany's at Star Wars Celebration.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And
Paul Bettany, if you're listening to this, please come to Celebration. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Everybody tweet at him. Paul Bettany, come to Star Wars Celebration. Everybody start tweeting now. Is he on Twitter? I actually don't know if he's
on
Twitter.
We can get
pizza. He's on Instagram.
He's on it. Well, everybody gram at him.
If you tweet at Ron Howard at least, and he'll find out.
Oh my gosh. What if Ron Howard came to Celebration? Guys, what if Opie came to Celebration?
To announce Solo 2.
Like, what's under the cap, Ron?
Paul Bettany does have a Twitter, can confirm.
All right, so everybody listening, go tweet at Paul
Bettany.
Hit him
up, people.
Tell him, come to Star Wars Celebration. You know, tweet at everybody who's ever been in a movie with Paul Bettany. Tell them.
Oh, I'm tweeting at him right now.
And will he bring Jennifer Connelly so I can ask her how her labyrinth is? These are the important questions, guys.
It's the power of the babe. Ask her about the power of the babe.
Hello there.
Oh my god.
This is what you can do at Celebration. We're not paid by Celebration
to
endorse this, by the way.
I'm kind of getting goosebumps even thinking about Labyrinth right now because David Bowie's the greatest thing that's like ever happened to me in my life. So I'm just like,
oh my gosh, retweet.
Woo. Sorry, I'm just thinking about Jareth. I'm okay, guys.
I mean, could you imagine if Bowie was in the Star Wars film? I mean.
Ah, no, don't even say that. Oh, man. Oh, what could have been?
Clay, you know I'm related to him, right?
Get out. No, you're
I
not.
I found that out, like, a few weeks ago.
What? Yeah. What?
I know this is extremely off topic.
I guess I was about to say, why didn't you tell me? But then I realized I don't think we've ever talked about David Bowie before.
No, that's not true. That's impossible.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. I'm not related to Jennifer Connelly, though. So, that's good.
That is good.
Ooh,
maybe later.
I got a fight, boss.
let's jump on the story. There's a lot going on. Basically, the greatest hits of kind of like what we knew about Han's past, right? Like Corellia, the Kessel Run, winning the Falcon. But we got a lot of new things too with. We see how he meets Chewie and how he meets Lando.
And
his first love.
Can we talk about that shower scene, though?
Oh, my God.
Like, Chewie and Han, like, naked together, like, seeing each other's giblets. Like, that's how you know the friendship is real. If you're willing to reveal your giblets to another person, like, that's how you know they're going to have, like, a next level type deal. Because we don't know if Han and Lando showed each other their giblets, but you know it's canon that Han has seen Chewbacca's penis, and Chewbacca has seen Han's penis. So you know that level of friendship is so real and cannot be tarnished, as evidenced by the original trilogy and Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Like, come on.
Do you think Lando joined them afterwards, but he had a cape that was like a shower cape?
I think he wanted to. But Chewbacca was, like, too big.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Both, you know what I mean? And by the time Chewbacca got out of the shower, there was, like, too much Wookiee hair all over the place. And Lando was like, you know what? I'm just not going to shower today. It's fine.
Yeah, imagine how that clogs up the drain. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to think, technically...
Oh, I can't fit. Oh, well, oh, that's fantastic.
Technically, does that mean Ben...
Circumstances change. Sorry, I had to do that.
Does that mean Ben technically makes a cameo, like, down there? I mean, like, half of him.
Oh, my lord.
Those deep cut references.
Han Sperm, voiced by Adam Driver.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you guys have read Last Shot yet, but there's a really small scene where Lando just, like, sort of goes on to himself about what a droid orgy would be like. I was like, yes.
This is the Lando I believe in. We've all deserved for so long.
Yes.
His outfit at the end, though, was just amazing.
Magnificent.
Oh, it was amazing. But
so good.
On the subject of droid orgies,
go on.
There's been a tiny bit of debate. There's been a little bit of debate that I've seen online, and I'd like to ask what you think about it. So L3 and Lando, are they in a romantic or sexual relationship? Yes or no? What is your hot take on that question?
Oh, they fucking.
Yeah, they fuck.
They fucking.
You've gone native, Kristen.
I think they tried it, at least.
They've tried it.
I mean, she says it in the film.
I mean, L3 said
like,
it
L3
works.
Had to know, right?
Yeah. How's she not going to know if it works if she didn't even try?
Exactly. No, I think, I mean, just how he, this is getting sad here, but just how he cradles her and, like, rubs, like, her little face when she's gone. Like, you know that that was a serious, serious loss for him, not just because it was, like, his droid, but no, he cared for her, I think, beyond a friendship or co-pilot sort of level.
But
there's a little romance in there.
Let me riddle you this. So L3 is technically gone, but she's a part of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, God.
So that means Lando can have sex with the Millennium Falcon.
Well,
boom.
Technically, we did see him go through the Falcon's hole in Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That we did. That we did.
The lighting of that scene is forever different
now.
It
is canon.
And what makes it hard is that Luke joined him. So, you know.
Hey, I'm not going to kink shame. I'm not going to kink shame.
That's true. You be you. You
but
know?
Yeah, this, like you mentioned, like these elements of the film, is just the small fact that L3 is part of the Falcon. You know, everyone says about stuff like how Han calls the ship her, or like she's got it where it counts, kid. But there's a...
And C-3PO being like, she has a strange
That's the thing I was about to say, yes. That was the perfect reference. I was like, oh my god, of course. Like, that makes so much sense. Yes.
Because that's the Kasdan movie also. So yeah, you could tell, like, it says, like, there's two lines also when Han doing, oh yeah, watch this. And fair and square. Nice call.
Excellent.
Back.
I
loved
every
that.
Time they happened, I just giggled.
Yeah. Speaking of droid orgies, what are three droids you would have an orgy with?
Back on brand.
This is the content you're all not paying for. You're welcome.
You're welcome, Star Wars.
Okay, so BB-8 for interchangeable parts.
Well, it gives you a thumbs up afterwards, so which is nice.
Hey. Where's he gonna put that thumb though?
Feedback. Oh, Jesus.
Oh no.
That's some fire, Kristen.
It's been a long time.
I think L3's experience in the matter would have to be taken into account.
Absolutely. Any day, L3.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
I feel like
number one spot on my roster.
I feel like she wouldn't be interested.
Really?
Yeah, with, you know.
But L3 also has like. I imagine as a human, she'd be a very pear-shaped droid, so it looks like she kind of has the booty, and it's got some serious, like, hips.
L3 thick.
L3
she
thick.
She is!
I would, you know. Well, I don't know.
My friend literally said that to me on opening night.
I would bypass her compressor, if you know what I mean.
Hey.
But I think she'd be like, no, I'm not doing this. What are you on about? Like, she's like, with Lando, I think he fancies me. But it's not mutual, so ignore that.
L3 likes to play hard to get. She makes you work for it. And I respect that. I respect that out of a droid woman, you know? You gotta want it. You gotta work for it. You gotta show her that you're willing to work hard for it.
And you,
I appreciate
and
that.
And you gotta be...
She knows what she wants.
Equal rights, man.
Equal rights.
And she's got the best damn Nava computer in the galaxy, so she knows her way around.
That's a
she
really good impression,
by the way.
She knows her way
around my Nava computer.
Oh.
But yeah, so... On the subject of her having the best Nava computer around and now being stuck in the Falcon, there's... The first two times that I watched it, I was like, I love that. And then the more I think about it, the more disturbed I get. Because you're like, oh, so her consciousness is trapped in this ship to just answer to Han's beck and call. Not even Lando. She's not even with her partner Lando anymore. She's just... stuck doing the bidding of humans, her human overlords. I'm like, I'm so sad. This seemed fun, but now you're trapped.
I went off of this ride.
Yes!
I preferred to think of it in, like, the Groot, baby Groot sort of scenario. Yeah. Of, like, it's not really her anymore. Like, pieces of that personality may, like, have gone into the Falcon. But yeah, no, you're right. It gets pretty morbid. And then, like, also because Lando, they were so close, but then Lando, like, still puts the Falcon on the table.
I know! you think, don't bet your love! Don't do it!
Yeah, it's like, if he really cared, would he have, like, still gone for it? Or is he just that kind of guy?
He probably is also
that kind of guy. But yeah, no, I get you.
That does make me feel a little bit better, Nikki, because I hadn't thought about it that way. Baby Groot, that's my new L3 mentality, and I think that I'll feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, she just needs to watch out for snaps.
That gonk droid, though.
Topical.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That gonk droid was probably one of the moments of pure joy. Like, of the most joy that I experienced was watching that little cutie little gonk droid march all over the control panel on Kessel. I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. I love Rebellion.
I love how they built to it, too. Because, like, it started with the one dude just kind of, like, hitting it with a tray. And they're like, oh, they're getting a little rowdy. Yeah. And then it jumps to just a dude, like, hopping on it. Yeah. Ah, so good.
Like you said, there's these moments...
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that little dude.
There's these moments in the film which, like, hark back to other, like, Star Wars moments and, like, Kasdan films. But there's my favourite sound effect in the whole of Star Wars, perhaps cinema, made its return in the film, which is as the Falcon's collapsing into the moor, you hear the hyperdrive malfunction.
Yes! Fail sound. Such a sad noise, but it's so good.
It's so
that
right.
was a really good impersonation of that hyperdrive noise, Charlie. I'm really impressed with
Thank
that.
Thank you. It's I love it so much. It's one of my favorite things about Star Wars. It's that. Watch this. Watch what?
A couple times when that noise did happen, like in I think two of my viewings. There were a lot of people that audibly went like, oh, like, you heard they were let down by that Falcon not going to light speed. You're like, oh, man. That's one of my favorite things is hearing those fan reactions during the movie itself and having that energy there. But the Falcon got a pretty good one, I gotta say.
So do you guys think, because like I've seen a few things where people were talking about how some things are left unshown in these characters. Do you guys think this movie stepped too far in any way? Like, oh, they shouldn't have shown that or whatever concerning Han's past? Or do you think it was all necessary?
Could you be more specific?
Well, like, I'll use an example. Just like, I don't know if anyone particularly said this, but say, oh, they shouldn't have shown us why he got the name Solo, you know, or something like that. Because I, like, before the movie came out, before things were happening, there were people, you know, who probably wanted a, like, just start the movie with Han and Chewie and the Falcon. Don't show them Kessel running. Don't show them winning it. Stuff like that. So do you guys feel that way, or did you feel that way, and do you not feel that way anymore? Did you never feel that way? Just kind of stuff like that.
I guess I wasn't really hung up on how Han Solo got his name. I thought it was very interesting that, you know, the Imperial guy was like, who do you belong to? And Han was like, you know, nobody. I belong to no one. And it just made me think of Rey in Force Awakens, where she's like, you know, I'm no one. I'm from nowhere. And so I thought that was like a really cool, you know, comparison. You know, Rey from nowhere, Han Solo, that belongs to nobody. So I think it plays light on someone's name. You know, yeah, Han Solo is an iconic name, but it's also kind of funny and interesting that it was just sort of given to him by an Imperial officer saying, all right, you don't belong to anybody. Solo, boom, smoke break, done. Like, just seeing that on the screen, like, oh, it's sort of like when Luke throws away the lightsaber that Rey hands to him, like such an iconic legend that people are just so just enamored with, and he just throws it over a cliff. So I felt like Ron Howard did something similar with Han Solo's name, and I liked it a lot because I think we put a lot of focus on someone's name versus who they are, or we put a lot of their identity in their name, and that may not be the case.
It reminded me of...
Yeah, it was nice that it was a character moment.
Sorry, Nick, you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I had to say. Just it, like, it could have just been a piece of trivia, but it mattered to where he's from and like where all his like attitude and stuff. And he kept it.
Yeah, it reminds me of just like classic ways of how people were named anyway, like in the real world, like Leonardo da Vinci. His name wasn't da Vinci. Like, he didn't come from a family called da Vinci. It meant of the place he was from, like Vinci. So it reminded me of that, like when they, like you said, when they went, who are your people, who are your tribe, and he has no one, so you know, Solo makes perfect sense. I thought that was a really cool nod.
Yeah. Sort
of classic naming things of like the real world, and like you said, Kristen, the Rey comparison, because the film does a really good job at showing you the comparisons of, like, Han sees himself both in Rey and Finn, I think, in The Force Awakens. And this adds a little bit more spark to that sort of whole idea. Like, Han was a stormtrooper. He ran away. He was also someone who was nobody and wanted to see something else in the galaxy and make something of himself. So it was cool to see that.
But still wanted to go back to Corellia.
Yes.
Because of people he cared about that were stuck there.
Exactly.
And Rey was hoping that they'd come back, so.
Like my bad bitch Lady Proxima.
Ooh! Yes!
What a queen.
Okay, yada yada yada, Solo, whatever. Let's fucking talk about Enfys Nest. The queen that she is. She snatched all of us. I am shooketh. I am shooketh. Like, I knew... Or I had speculation that it was going to be a woman because there was this French magazine that published an article about Enfys Nest and sort of how they articulated the language. They described the villain as being a she. And I was like, I'm not going to get my hopes up. We're just going to see. And then she took off her mask. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
Yeah, it was funny because I remember that news came out about it being a woman, and then like Star Wars Insider posted an article where it said he, and then the movie started off with he, And yeah. I was like, okay, where are they going with this? But yeah, no, what a character. There's so many moments, and they're all such like fantastic pieces that I think, and like a lot of people wish there was more Enfys Nest, but I think also the scenes she's in are so good because there wasn't more Enfys Nest also.
Everything she did was impactful. Yeah, that was one of those characters where the air of mystery, although we do find quite a bit about, if we find out quite a bit about her, like being from Savarine, where they cut out everyone's tongues and taking up the mother's mantle and yada yada. But that, the mystery about Enfys Nest was the coolest part of the film. And just like that design and watching.
The score.
Oh, the choral.
I loved it.
Score every time that it's just like, ba ba da da. And I'm like, oh no! Oh God!
Why do they keep screwing everything up? Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Are we the baddies?
She was such a...
I think you might be.
She was such a pleasant surprise for me. Like, obviously, I wanted it to be a female character because we'd heard about it before, and I knew going in the likelihood was that it was a female character, which is really cool. But it being such a young female character and, like, a person of colour, like, it was pretty cool, like, considering other aspects of the film, which we'll talk about in a minute, which I wasn't a fan of. It was cool to see such a cool villain, who wasn't just a villain, but the purpose was actually lighthearted and sort of, you know, building up this rebellion and linking in, I think, a bit to, like, Saw Gerrera, you know, like, what they were doing.
Especially with Two Tubes.
Yeah, Two Tubes is back. Well, one of them.
Yeah, my boy.
One of the Two Tubes.
Benfic, wasn't that right?
I think it is him. The visual guide does not specify, though.
It does not, yeah.
So, but I think it's him. He had the rifle. And Weasel. My boy Weasel from
Weasel, my man.
Anytime I can see Warwick Davis's face in a Star Wars movie, my day is made.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite little 2 second moments in Phantom Menace, and just seeing him and like having him have lines and just be him, the beautiful, beautiful Warwick, it just made me so happy. I love Warwick Davis so much.
Was that confirmed that he's playing the same character?
Yes, it is in the visual.
I love that so much.
Right? So good.
I'd like to think in an alternative universe that Padme would have been a part of that clan too.
Driving speeder bikes.
Can we talk about while we're talking about Phantom Menace characters, that Aura Sing drop?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That line is
when he's
just
like,
so
"I didn't
good.
Kill her. I just pushed her. The fall killed her." Like, ho ho, oh. Clever. Mr. Beckett.
It's those things that made Solo really kind of fun. Just using those opportunities to drop things that people can recognize, like the VCX 100 and the Bossk line and stuff, you know?
Yes.
It was great to just... It takes so little. It just, you know, it's a second of mentioning something, but it goes a long way. So thanks, John, you nerd.
Nerd.
Yeah, Ron Howard was saying about how, like, the moments with Maul and John Kasdan, it was John Kasdan saying this as well, that in the script, they didn't actually necessarily say it was Maul. It was a
right.
crime boss. But John Kasdan...
They didn't want it leaking.
That. And right. I think, like, people were, like, worried about what to do with it. And I think Larry Kasdan was like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, he liked the character, but he was like, didn't he die? And, Trinket's like, no, we'll explain it. And, Ron Howard's son is a big Star Wars fan as well. He was like, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Like, because they were of the age, you know, growing up, where the Phantom Menace was out. So, like, seeing Darth Maul was such a cool experience. And I think that John Kasdan said that, Maul was always the character he wanted to be in charge of it. And it just made sense. Like, the whole Crimson Dawn, you know. He's red. He named it after that, which is pretty.
He has a fragile alliance with the Pikes, as he does in Clone Wars.
Of course, and the Hutt cartel.
And the Hutt cartel, yeah.
I just want to know what his game is. Like, what's he doing?
Yeah, it's cool that they were able to identify that little gap between Clone Wars or Son of Dathomir and stuff and Rebels, and being able to, you know, make that decision to not just make someone new, but to like, we can do something with this guy. We can give a little more context to this like gray area we don't know.
And
that's what's really exciting.
It's awesome to have Sam Witwer in the film, like 100%,
because
it solidifies his character in Rebels and stuff. And to see him play in the films, it's like, okay, it's everything you sort of wanted when you watched The Clone Wars. But to have Ray...
And to see Ray
Park. Yeah, but to have Ray Park back, can we just take a minute there?
Oh.
I'm so happy. Amazing. I'm so happy, because he deserves it.
I am so glad Ray Park reprised his role. I love it.
I wanted to, like, cry with happiness for both of them. I was just like, I'm so happy for both of them, and I know how much they love Maul, and that's really special that they get to do that. It just fills me with the warm fuzzies inside.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think if they ever sort of pursue Maul's story in live action, do you think they'll put Ray Park in mocap or in the actual makeup?
Oh, I hope they do the makeup.
Me too.
What did you think about the lightsaber ignition? Because I thought it was really cool that we get to see a live-action version of the Inquisitor saber. Because technically that's the first ever Inquisitor saber we've seen in live-action.
I mean, it definitely turned me on, that's for sure.
Jesus.
I loved it. And at the same time, I was just like, I don't really think he needed to do that. Like, rationally, I was like, I don't know, that wasn't really necessary. But then, like, the Star Wars fan in me was like, it's so necessary. Oh my gosh, yes, yes!
Everything in Star Wars is necessary.
100%.
I love Crime Boss Maul just being so over the top. He's got his little jewelry on. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to stretch out the little saber. scare Kira, you know? No, yeah.
Did it scare Kira, was she like, you know, oh, okay?
I think he wants it to, but whether it does is a...
I think she was like...
You have to ask her.
Bias Han Solo, I don't know her.
Like, and that little bit of Jewel of the Fates. I mean...
Yeah. Right.
I mean, could you imagine, like, go back 2 years in time, okay? And Rogue One is going to come out soon. And you're expecting all these standalone stories. And you know Han Solo is going to come out. Would you in a million years expect Darth Maul to be in Han Solo's film?
No, not one tiny bit.
Never.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those jumps you don't expect. Like, sort of the idea of, Ahsoka probably won't ever be in a mainstream film, so you can sort of work with it. Because then you'll just be like, oh, Anakin and an apprentice, who's that? And then you're like, oh, Darth Maul, his resurrection probably won't, you know, be put in a movie. It'll probably just work in this medium, and like the general audiences won't need to like worry about that. But no, they go for it, and that's what's really cool. That makes you wonder what else they're willing to go for, because there's a lot they can do.
Yeah, I have to say though, like the lightsaber ignition as well. Like, part of me was like you said, Claire. Part of me was like, did he have to do that? Like, was it such a big deal? But I kind of also wanted him to get up and do, like, 5 front flips.
Oh, absolutely. I, like, fist pumped one of the times. I was just like, yes.
It should have been like the Lego Maul where, like, 6 blades pop out.
Awesome! Do you think that because we've seen, like, Ray Park return as Darth Maul, if they do make a Boba Fett film, is it likely they'd bring back someone like Daniel Logan or Tamora Morrison? Does that make it more likely now in your books?
Yes.
I would say yes.
As long as they bring a person of color to play Boba Fett, if that's all I want. And if they have like a diverse cast, because like a lot of people loved Rogue One because it was such a great film, but you know, it had Cassian Andor, it had Riz Ahmed, it had Saw Gerrera, it had you know, a female, Jyn Erso. Like, it was a very diverse cast, and it worked, and you could see the success of it. And it's a lot of people's like favorite films, or favorite movie. So, you know, if Lucasfilm were to go in the direction of a Boba Fett film, if they could carry on that diverse cast and diverse writing and having multiple people of color in it, you know, I think it would be really great, even if they did bring back, you know, Darth Maul into it.
And you're speaking about like representation and sort of, you know, equality in these films. What did you guys think about the equality in the different types of roles in Solo? Obviously, you know, we had Enfys Nest, Val, who is such an awesome character. But for me personally, I was like, what? what did you...
I wanted more. I wanted more of Val.
She like...
Yeah.
Her death scene is ultimately pointless.
Yes. I think that while I think the thought was there, the execution was not. That specifically with the women in this movie and the women of color, aka Thandi, who was just so cool, perfect, and just amazing as Val, I think that they kind of let the women down in this movie. I think that every single female character in that film except Kira could have been utilized or treated a little bit better. I loved Val. I thought that it was disappointing. And then I thought I loved Phoebe Waller-Bridge as L3, and then that end was just, while it was devastating and emotionally just gut-wrenching, I think that they really let L3 and Val down in this movie. I get why they would, but if you're... I just wish that there were more women in this movie that were treated better, if that makes any sense. The only one who really made it out, who I adored and I really, really loved, it was just Kira and Enfys Nest. But they really did not do Thandi Newton or Phoebe Waller-Bridge any favors, especially with how they treated the character story-wise. I feel like those were kind of disappointing for me.
Yeah, I think like part of what works so much with Solo is that it's kind of a throwback film, and it's very sort of like a classic sort of adventure that, you know, Star Wars was based on, and that's why a lot of people I thinks it hits that New Hope vibe so much. But that's like the other side of having a throwback movie is it wasn't particularly progressive. For sure. And I can definitely see why people are upset at that, and rightly so. Because, you know, we want to keep moving forward with all those things. And I think, like, I don't know if this is at all true, but I wonder how much the reshoot schedule interfered with Westworld work, and if Val was supposed to do more and she couldn't. But that's total speculation. I don't actually know what the Westworld scheduling is.
You don't know all the answers to our questions?
No, not today. but yeah, because I think, like, for me, I love Beckett and I love Woody Harrelson, but the character could have been Val Beckett.
And, for sure.
She could have done that whole thing. It could have been Rio, who I also love, and some other scrub who die on the bridge. It could have been Val in some alternate universe that we won't get. And I say that as someone who, again, really likes Woody's Beckett. But yeah, it's something that could have been, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully there will be some way in which Val can get more out of, I don't know how, but you never know. They bring Ray Park back, anything's possible.
True.
Well, I'm definitely waiting for those Adventures of Beckett, Val, and Rio comic miniseries. I'm waiting for that one to come out because I would read every last bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Right. So I don't think we talked too much about Mr. Glover coming in as Lando Calrissian.
Amazing. He did such a phenomenal job. Like, I mean, I knew he was going to do a good job, but he just really blew it out of the park. You could tell that he was really invested in making sure that this was done really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember just sort of in the press stuff, him talking about how, like, it's sort of like his attitude early was, I don't care what it is, I want to be Lando. So it was nice to have someone so dedicated to that aspect because of the meaning that character had. Because, yeah, I mean, two guys coming in to play Han and Lando, it's something that I think people were, you know, tentative about. And, I mean, both of them, Alden is amazing. I mean, it's almost, like, unreal how he did all that. Yeah. I mean, I know some people probably, he's probably not their cup of tea for some people, but I think he just nailed it in ways, he nailed it in ways that I don't think even Harrison Ford nailed it.
Yeah, a lot of people said that, a lot of people said.
Oh, no, go ahead.
That his Han is their favorite Han. And I really loved his version of Han. I really loved Donald's Lando. And by the end scene, for me, they were the same person. Like, they were the character that we see in Empire Strikes Back. And that's what I love the most, is that friendship, that sort of, you know, like, annoying each other sort of friendship. I just love it so much. And I think I want to see more of it. Like, I want to see it expand. I want to see it evolve. I know that it happens in the last shot and stuff, but I want to see it on the screen.
For sure.
So do you,
and
you
what
guys,
I,
oh, go ahead, sorry. Oh,
sorry. What I've kind of found, in my opinion, I think that Alden and Donald, like, they just nailed it. I think that there were a few moments, and this is just me being the most nitpicky human being on the planet, there were just a few moments where Donald Glover's Lando slipped into straight Billy Dee impersonation and not just modeling.
Fantastic.
After, yeah, there were some that was just like, all right, I know you're not Billy Dee. I'm cool with it, but it's flipping into, like, the impersonation kind of side of it. But what I have found is it seems like the more hardcore Star Wars fans, the ones that are reading all the comics and have watched these movies 8 million times, I found that fan base is generally more positive on the review of their performances in this movie than the casual fan, because a lot of the people that I've gone to see it with who are more casual, like, for example, my dad or my sister, they were more along the lines of, I mean, they were fine, but Han Solo is Harrison Ford. This guy is not Harrison Ford. And Lando is Billy Dee. This guy is not Billy Dee. So I found that a lot of the more casual fans that I've spoken to are more lukewarm on it, while we're the ones that are more positive about it, which I think is kind of funny for a change.
I think that's definitely true, at least in my experience, too. I went to Barnes & Noble and bought some book with, you know, Alden Han on the cover, and this was before the movie came out, and the, like, cashier was like, not sure about this one, there's only one Han.
Yep.
And
reject him.
Meanwhile, yeah, we're sitting here like, oh, this guy looks awesome. So yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And yeah, another thing, actually, just to talk about your Lando point. If I remember correctly, Donald Glover talked about how Lando has like a lot of capes. This was a while ago. So he has like a lot of capes, and how he sort of still sort of like Lando is figuring out who Lando is still. So I almost thought that like the overemphasizing, I almost feel like that was in character, because it's like young Lando trying to like push his own boundaries, if that makes any sense.
Trying to be much cooler than he actually was at that point.
Right.
For sure. Right. More suave, more Billy Dee.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, you know, when he's an Empire, he's grown up a little. He's down to like three capes. he doesn't push the suave.
Yeah, you know,
he had to make some sacrifices.
The perfect line in that, I think you're right, Nikki, because the perfect line in that film, in reference to that, is when they go to Kessel, and he talks about how much he hates mining operations. And that's literally his job in Empire.
Right.
Yes.
It's a whole bloody sea about
awkward.
It.
Awkward.
So. And the puffer pigs.
Oh man, no puffer pigs in this one.
Thank the Lord.
Whoa, Solo 2, maybe. Claire, you're Annie.
Are we going to have a puffer pig civil war?
I think we might actually have puffer pig civil war.
Oh, here we go. It's on now. The Senate is debating.
I'll have to wait till next time.
That might have to wait till next time for sure. I think that would go on a little bit too long than this podcast can handle. It needs its own episode.
It needs its own episode. That's right.
Speaking of the idea of puffer pigs showing in Solo 2, the box office may suggest that they won't make a Solo 2 for theatrical release, maybe. But do you guys think these characters, these actors, will be back in content in the future?
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Yes, I definitely think that there's just so much in this movie that would make a fantastic live-action show or a fantastic, you know, mini-series, or fantastic to walk through the screen for a different Star Wars standalone movie if we're going to see Boba Fett and just having one scene, you know. But I think that we will see them again, for sure.
I hope so. There's a trilogy out of this story. I think it's so intriguing. I really love Kira. I really love the idea of her, like, taking reins on Crimson Dawn. And, like, I mean, we've got a whole franchise here, like, that can deal with a trilogy that potentially is about Han Solo and Darth Maul in the same room. And do you know what? I'm throwing my money. I'm throwing my money at it.
Bring it.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
I think, like, in Rebels, because obviously we have to figure out this point of Darth Maul sitting on a throne, bossing criminals around, to hiding on a unknown planet and, like, you know, beneath the ground.
Yes, what happened?
Right. So, like, and he's sitting there going, "The Sith took everything from me." And if there's not movies in that, I don't know. It's like there's a whole story of how I hope we just see the Empire taking down Crimson Dawn, which would be incredible.
Ooh, that would be very interesting.
Okay, well, do you guys want to talk about the box office? Where's that horse been beaten to death?
I think it's been beaten. I mean, we're not expecting every Star Wars film to be, like, incredibly super successful. Like, there are definitely things that can be drawn from the box office numbers. It's always a good time for self-evaluation of, you know, okay, what are things that we can do better in the future? But I don't think it's, like, detrimental or anything. You know, Lucasfilm is doing just fine. And this, I think this is one of the biggest box offices for Ron Howard. So I think there's a lot of praise for that.
It was his largest opening, that's for sure.
And so there's a lot of praise for that. A lot of, you know, people came out in support of him. So, I mean, you know, yeah, The Last Jedi had a huge box office success, you know, but I think with standalone films, I'm not going to hold them to the same, you know, box office standard because they are standalone films. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's an important thing for people to understand that, like, media outlets too, that like they don't all have to perform the right. same way.
I think as well.
And because what I was just going to say is that also thinking about the budget that had to go into this movie, reshooting so much of it, I think they kind of knew they were going to be sort of taking a loss on this one. But also, I think that they've learned a bit from their marketing strategy. I think that they've learned maybe Star Wars belongs in December, not competing with all of Disney's other huge box office, you know, contenders that come out, you know, in that time frame. And I think that they've also maybe, hopefully, have learned that that maybe they should do a little bit more hype before they put this movie out. It really did kind of sneak up on a lot of people. If I had a nickel over how many times they're like, people have asked me like, oh, that one's out now? Like, I would be one rich person.
I mean, it makes me wonder if they guinea pigged this. Like, what's our low, like, what's the low bar we can do? Because, I mean, there were weird things they did. Like, the hypeless midnight release of tickets. Was weird to me.
What was with that?
It was May 4th, but they didn't say anything. And then luckily I was jet lagged in England and I was up at 5 in the morning. And I was like, oh, wow, tickets are on sale. Okay. It was weird. Yeah, so I almost wonder if they were just like, well, let's see what's the least we can do for it to be, you know, successful. And I hope they found that out, because it's interesting, that's for sure. Okay, well, let's bring it back up. You guys have any favorite moments?
Oh, the shower scene, Ovs.
Shower scene?
Ovs, duh.
My favorite moment would probably, since I'm become a total Kira fangirl after this movie, and we'll be cosplaying as Kira at Star Wars Celebration.
Heck
Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes. Check your life. I already have things purchased and coming in the mail. I think my favorite moment was probably the Kira double quintuple cross. Specifically the moment where she gets that sword and puts Han on the ground. It's just like, it's about finding your opponent's weakness. And today, I'm yours, and just turns on Dryden. That is probably
just... Dracarys.
Ooh, all Dracarys all over everybody. That'd probably be one of my faves for sure.
Yeah. How about you, Charlie?
I think my favorite moment has to be... Well, I've got a few favorite moments. One of them is the Lando saying, can I get you anything? Equal rights. I think that was a funny line. I really like the Han Chewie Shuri Rook. Is that how you say it? Shuri Rook?
Shuri Rook?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
We get
that first moment where Han starts talking to Chewie. And you just see in his eyes, it's like, oh my god, he respects my culture. He is talking to me in my language. Maybe I should give him a listen. And just seeing that friendship.
This mouthy scooch doesn't want to die.
I loved it.
Yeah. Oh,
can I throw in one more moment real quick?
Go for it.
Yes.
Super quick. The shot of them getting back on the Falcon, leaving Kessel, where they track Han blasting out of the door, and they walk through the Falcon with the camera from the outside. And that just gives me goosebumps every time I see it, because they're just not
delicious.
Ever gotten anything. Oh yeah, like that was pretty.
I'm like, cool. Oh my god.
I mean, like, we knew it from trailers, but it's all sort of connected to that part. But that part where Lando throws Han the blaster, and then they just start, like, pumping laser into people.
So cool.
It's like, yes, this is what I came for. I think probably the one I would say, though, is I love their first card game. All these viewings into it, it's that scene still puts a smile on my face. The music, the like, dude with the multiple eyes looking at Han's cards, and just all the people, like, in the background, like, clapping and stuff. That scene is magic. I think that's probably my favorite. But yeah. Do you guys have any further things? Do we have a listener question? We can put a big bow on this.
Kristen, you had some fun one.
Yes. Michael wanted to know, where does Chewie poop?
In the toilet. Next question.
He's civilized, guys. He's been around for 190 years. He knows how to use one.
Mike asks, are Leku a sex organ?
They're certainly an erogenous zone. We know that much.
Sure.
Yeah. What, like Twi'lek Lekus, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one thing we learned in Last Shot is that
it matters who touches it.
Yeah, that is like braiding your hair on Alderaan. That is an intimate thing to do, is to touch someone's Leku.
I think it's a bit like when you nibble your partner's ear.
It's just nibbling.
A lot of nerve endings.
Totally the same level.
Is when you have a little rub of the Leku. And that's not an innuendo, guys, so don't, you filthy minded people.
Is that it?
Is that
our listener feedback?
Yep.
I think that's, so, yeah.
We only got really raunchy questions. That's so weird.
Let me check, guys. I'll check Thanks Twitter one time. Come on, anyone? No.
Thanks for keeping with the theme of the show.
Yeah.
It always goes back to poop and innuendo anyway.
How to stay on brand.
That's what it's all about here at the Imperial Senate.
Oh, we got one last question from Ian. He says, were you surprised by anyone who wasn't in the movie? I thought Jabba would appear.
Ooh.
I mean, he...
I'd say that too.
He was hinted at, though. Yeah. So, yeah. I'll take that.
Yes. Great. Definitely Jabba.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there was somebody else that I was missing.
Probably Boba Fett.
Am I? Yes, there was so much speculation about that, especially with Han. Ron Howard's Twitter feed.
All the people who are like, "Oh, Boba Fett's definitely in this movie." This isn't really 100% what the question's asking, but I was kind of hoping that Dryden, especially now with the Maul reveal, I was kind of hoping that he would be like a former Death Watch, and like that was his red Mandalorian armor, and like Maul put him in charge of that sect because he was like a loyal trooper.
That's amazing.
But I don't think that's the case.
Ooh, interesting.
Because he's something like weird. He's not really human, so I don't know what he is. But yeah. That was my sort of surprise at what someone wasn't, I guess. But yeah, thank you for the questions, everyone. I think that basically wraps up this little first solo reaction podcast. Hopefully we'll have lots more to talk about in the months to come, and hopefully you guys enjoyed some of it. It was certainly fun talking to you guys.
I'm sure we'll be talking more about Solo in the coming weeks as well.
Yeah, so... definitely check back with more episodes. Be in touch with us on social media. And you can actually do that at these locations. So why don't you guys go ahead and plug your stuff, whoever wants to start.
You can find me on Twitter at Kristen K. Bates. Also on Instagram at Kristen K. Bates. Also, I sometimes write for Nerdist. That's a thing now. So you can check out some of my posts. 10 times out of 10, I'll be sharing them, saying, hey, look what I wrote. So, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Cstribs. And if you're not already, you should think about becoming a patron for the Imperial Senate Podcast Patreon page, because then you can listen to my upcoming new show, which Charlie and I just recorded the very first episode of, and that is called Databank Discussions, and it was a really great time, and I am excited about it. I'm excited for you to hear it.
It was a good one.
Yeah, we had fun.
Can we plug any of it?
Exciting content.
Can we plug any
of the...
Give him a
little sneak peek. Get him in...
preview. Yeah.
Little, maybe one Uba at a time.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I love it.
That was
one
so
Uba
good.
At a time. If you want to know the context behind the new medical drama, the grip, Star Wars, you have to check out our Patreon.
Yeah.
It's pretty legit.
Should be an exciting show. Lots of, so much to go into. Lots of guests. I think it'll be a promise. We'll watch your career with great interest, Claire.
Thank you.
I guess you can find me on Twitter at CMWASHBY, where I talk nonsense. You can also find me on Instagram if you just search my name, which is Charlie Ashby. I'm sure you'll find me. If you don't, then that's your problem. And I'm also in your garden every Tuesday, so if you catch me outside...
How about that?
Oh no, he went there.
Yes. Respect.
Okay. And you can follow me at Nequicious, NAQUICIOUS on Twitter, where I will ramble about something. And then you can, of course, follow the show on Twitter at ImpSenatePod, and also find us on our Facebook page, the Imperial Senate Podcast. So yeah, definitely check out Patreon. Got some exciting stuff there. And yeah, we hope you keep listening and enjoying our randomness. So until next time, guys, take it easy.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Dissolved the council permanently. The last remnants of the old republic have been swept away.